Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Just do me a favor. Talk a little bit. You know, just like tell me what, well, I was going to say, the stock question is tell me what you had for breakfast today, but I guess you didn't have anything.
I did not have any breakfast today because we're fasting. And normally the kids get up for suhoor and they'll eat like cereal and milk, but I just get up, have a cup of water and go back to sleep.
This is Suzanne. She's a Sporkful listener in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And right now she's observing the Muslim holiday of Ramadan, which means she's fasting every day for a month. Nothing to eat or drink while the sun is up.
The worst thing is when you get the hunger pains, and they're coming early this year, at like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm starving, and I have to let that time pass. But once I start cooking, hunger goes away because I'm busy, you know, being active.
Yeah, do you ever like forget?
Yes, sometimes you do forget. Sometimes when I'm cooking, if I want to taste something, but it doesn't count. So you're okay. It's almost, they say, like it's a gift from God that you forgot.
Because of how the Muslim calendar works, Ramadan starts a little earlier every year. This year it falls during the longest days in the Northern Hemisphere. Michigan is just about as far west as you can go and still be in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah. So it's California, they break their fast at 7:30. It makes a difference almost 2 hours.
They're getting soft out there in California, I gotta say.
They are.
In Michigan, in June, the sun doesn't set until after 9. Of course, it could be in Iceland. Anyway, Suzanne heard our Ramadan show last year, and she invited me to her home. I stopped by in the afternoon while she was cooking.
Ramadan is the month of fasting, and the history of it is that the Quran was brought down to our prophet, peace be upon him, during Ramadan. It's a time of reflection, a time of not eating, to almost to emulate what people who don't have food, who are limited in their resources. We have a refrigerator full of food, but there are people out there who do not, and we appreciate it a lot more during Ramadan.
Today on The Sporkful, we'll hear how Lebanese and Tunisian foods come together on Suzanne's Ramadan table, right next to the chicken pot pie. Plus, I'll break the fast with Muslim cab drivers in New York. And things will not go as planned. Stick around. From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. Quick little bit of Ramadan terminology for us right here at the top. The morning meal before sunrise, that's called suhoor. The evening meal after the sun sets, that's called iftar. Suhoor in the morning, iftar at night. Suzanne and her parents came to the U.S. from Lebanon when she was 7. She grew up outside Detroit in Dearborn, Michigan, which is about 40% Muslim. Suzanne's husband came from Tunisia when he was in his 20s. He's an engineer. She's a realtor. They're about to celebrate their 20th anniversary, and they have 3 teenage sons. And at Ramadan, there are some foods that Suzanne and her whole family just know they're going to be eating.
My mother makes a really good tabbouleh. We generally make a smoothie just to keep the hydration so you're not dehydrated. We make a soup. My mother makes a lentil soup. I actually make a soup called frika, which is Tunisian. And that's, I learned that from my husband's family. And that's what they have all the time. They have the frika soup and they have brik, or brika, which is like a Tunisian appetizer. Most of the time I fry, like during Ramadan, I'll fry it. I make it outside of Ramadan, I'll bake because my husband's trying to keep away with the cholesterol and, you know, eat more healthy.
But so it's sort of like a treat during Ramadan.
To fry it. Yeah, and every day. And the kids are like, make more every day because they'll eat them up.
Suzanne starts showing me how to make that dish, the brika.
And I've already boiled potatoes, combined parsley, cilantro, and tuna, capers, and a little bit of cheese. I ran out of feta cheese, so you're getting American cheese in it.
I love that.
All right, so we're going to mix it up. I'm adding 2 eggs right now to the mixture. And then we're going to fill the kind of like an egg roll thing. I got these from France. They're a brique pastry.
So now, if I can describe this, to put this in different terms, if you imagine a flour tortilla for a burrito, but it's made out of phyllo dough instead of a flour tortilla, that's kind of the shape.
Yep.
And then we're putting the filling in.
Yeah, I'm putting the filling in and just kind of making a little envelope for it, because then the filling doesn't fall out.
Suzanne finishes putting together the brica pouches. And since it's Ramadan, these things are going in some hot oil.
Oh, see how nice that looks?
So brica is one of Suzanne's Ramadan staples. But when she gets together with her whole extended family, the menu's kind of all over the map.
It's kind of like a potluck. I will make some Tunisian I'll actually make brica. My mom makes the lentil soup. She'll make tabbouleh or fettouche. My sisters will bring the more Americanized, the lasagna or the Salisbury steak.
So on this spread, mm-hmm. when you and your sister's family and your parents all get together, there's Lebanese food, Tunisian food,
and American
meatloaf.
Yeah, and meatloaf, exactly. Yes.
That's so great.
Yep, seriously, that's my sister makes the chicken pot pie. So true.
You didn't really learn to cook from your mom when you were growing up.
I did not. My mother made food for us. I came home, food was ready. So I knew hardly anything about food. I could scramble eggs. But after we got married, my husband cooked a lot. And I learned a lot of Tunisian food from him. Cooking my Lebanese food, that's actually more a recent thing for me because my mother is older now and I want to learn all her recipes. And I've been making stuff now and I've gotten good enough. Everybody's like, you know, your food tastes like mom's. I'm like, I know. I'm so happy.
And are your parents in Dearborn still?
My parents are in Dearborn still, okay. Yes.
And what are some of your memories growing up in Dearborn of Ramadan? What do you remember eating? What do you remember doing?
I remember the best part was everybody stays up all night long. The bakeries are open all night long, so you can go get, for suhoor, you have a real breakfast, you know, with labaneh, which is like the kefir cheese, manoushi, the za'atar, which is like the thyme pies or cheese pies. And it's just a nice sense of community. Everybody's fasting. Everybody's, you know, has the same feeling. So everybody's pretty chill. So it's a really nice time.
Oh, this looks good.
See, it's nice and solid.
It's turning golden brown and crispy on the outside.
I'm going to flip it.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Yassin, my youngest, during Ramadan, he actually will help make the brica. He'll fill them and get them ready to fry. Hamza, who is the pickiest eater, he's the middle one, he's learned to make tofu dishes, though My only critique is he's got to wash his dishes after. Because there is no dishwasher in this house. The only one is called Suzanne. So. But he's kind of started to cook food. He likes more fish than meat. He's a runner, so he's become very aware of what he eats and how to eat healthy. I'm glad that they're trying out new things, and I'm hoping that they will continue the traditions, you know, traditional foods. And I think they will go back to it. I seem to have gone back to it because now I'm calling my mom and if I'm making a stew that she's usually made, I will ask her, what do you add here? How do you do this? How do you do that? And she'll tell me now.
Thank you. This is amazing. Will you at least sit with me, Suzanne?
Let me just wash my hands.
Okay. I'm waiting for you to sit with me.
All right.
Suzanne wasn't breaking her fast for a few more hours, but she insisted that I eat. And I mean, I had to be polite, right? I started with the brica. That's the fried phyllo dough pouch with egg, potato, cheese, tuna, and capers. Suzanne sprinkles it with lime juice before serving it.
Pretty good?
It's so good.
So good.
The lime is great.
Yeah.
And I like that it's not too salty, but it's like the potato and the... Mm. Tell me about the last minute before you break
the
fast.
You know what? Really, when you get to the time that you break your fast, your body is so used to it that it's almost feels like an invasion when you do eat because you're like, oh, sometimes it doesn't go down right. So,
right, your stomach probably shrinks up, and so you feel full very quickly.
Correct.
So you need to strategize the use of that space so you can sustain yourself.
Yep. So you try to eat slowly. And just, you know, slow bites and then swallow the food because you don't want to fill up too quickly.
So let's nerd out on some of the details here. Which foods are best and why? Just to help
the
you
soup
go through the fast.
For hydration. Okay. And then whether it's a lentil soup or the frika soup, that is good protein. It fills you up and you get the soup, just the liquid from it. The brica is good because it's got eggs in it, tuna. So you get a lot of protein. So it's pretty filling. And then with the smoothie, you're drinking a lot. And then I just try to drink a lot of water. See, I can watch you eating that and have no issue at all.
I almost feel bad, Suzanne.
Don't feel
bad. But not so bad that I'm going to stop eating.
No, you just keep enjoying.
Because it's so good. Yeah. Thank you again to Suzanne for her hospitality and amazing, delicious food. She also made me a meat pie using her mom's homemade dough and some frika. That's the Tunisian soup she mentioned. Hers has a very light tomato broth with little pieces of chicken and cracked wheat. Oh, it's just so light and delicious. We'll post photos and Suzanne's brika recipe at sporkful.com. From Suzanne's house in Ann Arbor, I headed to Bloomfield Hills, a suburb of Detroit. Michigan has one of the highest concentrations of Muslims living in the U.S. of any state. And in recent years, they've taken in more Syrian refugees than any other state besides California. I was going to Bloomfield Hills to meet two men who'd recently arrived.
Last year, for Ramadan, I was with my family in Istanbul. And this year, it's a lot more different because I'm away from them.
This is Mohammed. He got to the U.S. 6 months ago with his wife and children. They're from Aleppo, which is Syria's largest city, and it has been decimated by the fighting there. Before coming here, they were in Turkey for 3 years. I spoke with him and Mukhadin, who's also from Aleppo. For both of them, this is their first Ramadan in the U.S.
In Istanbul, we would go out and buy the ma'ruk bread. It's kind of like pita bread, and just kind of the scent in the street kind of brings you to think of Ramadan and to kind of feel the same feeling we'd feel in Syria.
Here you
don't really have those little things that remind you of what it feels like to really be observing Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
In Istanbul and in Syria, kind of an hour before it's time to break your fast, you would see the cars lining up to the store just to buy the ma'ruk bread. He wants to show you a picture.
Oh, it looks good.
This is cheese.
Cheese bread.
He's saying he made this.
Oh. Mukhadin was a chef back in Syria. He showed me a photo of a cake he made. It was dark brown and the whole top was studded with colorful fruits and nuts. It almost looked like a tile mosaic. It was really beautiful. He says because there are so many people of Middle Eastern descent around Detroit, it's actually not too hard to find the ingredients he needs for his cooking. The hard part is getting to the store.
I'm seeing a lot of difficulty in being here. So he's saying that he's having a hard time getting comfortable just because he still hasn't gotten his driver's license. He doesn't have a car. There's no way for him to leave, go to the store, visit friends. He doesn't, know anyone yet. So he feels like he's kind of depressed. And it's a lot less socializing and being around his friends and family.
What do you hope will be different about your lives next year at Ramadan?
I was a seamstress when I was in Aleppo, so that is something that I wish that I could do here too. I wish that I could own my own business and rely on myself. We are hoping to become more self-sufficient. I would like to own my own house this time next year instead of renting a home. After you lose your home and you lose everything in your home country, you want to move to something better and do better for yourself and for your family.
Coming up, when our Ramadan show continues, I'll break the fast with a group of Muslim cab drivers in New York. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC Studios. I'm Dan Pashman. Before we get back to the show, I know I mentioned a couple weeks ago that it's Podcast Appreciation Month. We're asking you to think about what you get from this show, think about why you love it, and to support the work that we do here. And many of you have already done that, and thank you to those of you who have. But if you're on the fence, right now, we're sweetening the deal, because there's a match. Thanks to our partners at the Tau Foundation, right now, any amount you give to the Sporkful is doubled. That's right. You are twice as powerful as you were before you listened to the sentence that I just said. Thanks to our partners at the Tau Foundation. They're helping us out. They're matching your donations between now and June 26th at 11:59 p.m. So get those donations in. And remember, when you give any amount, you'll get three top secret Sporkful episodes that are not publicly available. One has comedian Marc Maron, and one features a discussion of pasta shapes with Julia Turner, host of the Slate Culture Gabfest.
I'm just going to open the show with a strong gambit. Worst pasta shape of all time, the wagon wheel. Definitely the wagon wheel we can just get rid of and throw out completely.
So please give now so that your donation is matched by the Tau Foundation. Donate any amount, you get the secret episodes. Give a little more, and you get other cool stuff too. Please donate now at sporkful.com/donate. Again, sporkful.com/donate. Or send a text. Text SPORK to 69866. Thank you. So, a little more info for you on Ramadan. First, the standard greeting is Ramadan Mubarak. It basically means Happy Ramadan. And as far as the fasting goes, there are exceptions for people who are young, sick, elderly, or pregnant. I know I sort of joked earlier about living in Iceland, but that's a real issue. Muslims in places like that have to fast for 20 hours a day this time of year. Some imams have issued fatwas shortening the fast in those areas. Sometimes they do it by basing the fast on the time in Mecca. Now, of course, we couldn't do a whole Ramadan show without having iftar, without breaking the fast. So back in New York, I met up with Mohammed Tipu Sultan. He's a Muslim cab driver who works for the union called the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. About half of New York City cabbies are Muslim, and I wanted to find out what it's like to do that job when you're observing Ramadan. I mean, first off, you don't even know where you're going to be at sunset. You don't know where your passengers are going to take you. That's why at New York's airports, they have Muslim prayer areas set up in the taxi parking lots. And that gave Tipu and me an idea. Buy a bunch of fruit and snacks, bring them to the cab drivers waiting for fares at JFK Airport. Get there right at sundown when it's time to break the fast. Share the food, talk to Muslim cabbies. Sounds like fun, right? Tipu was off duty, so we hailed a cab and the two of us rode in the back. First thing I learned, cab drivers are used to being in control of their vehicles. Tipu had a lot of opinions about which route our driver should take.
Let me see this a little farther. Yeah, inshallah, the Belt Parkway is good, except the Rockaway Boulevard area has the traffic.
Tipu, you, it's 7:15. You have been fasting all day, am I right?
Yes, I'm fasting all day. That means I ate 3:30 a.m., the last food I ate, and last drink I 3:43, the last minute of the closing time.
Wow.
I drank the water.
How are you feeling right now?
Feeling thirsty and tired and hungry.
Right.
Missing my food.
You now mostly drive night shift or day shift?
I drive a night shift.
So that's about what time to what time?
5 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning.
Every day?
Every day.
Oh my gosh. So For a taxi driver who is fasting for Ramadan, is it better to have the night shift or the day shift?
Easier for fasting if the driver driving a nighttime. Person who driving a daytime, it is much more realization about the fasting. So whole day he's on the street with this traffic and picking the luggage. So it is a harder day driver to be fasting and driving in a daytime.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Bangladesh.
How long have you been here?
Last 17 years.
And am I right, are you going to school?
Yes, I back and forth. I try my best, but having family and child is not easy.
So you have a wife and
I have two kids.
How old are they?
One of them is a year and a half and another one is seven. Falling to seven, yes.
Wow. And what are you studying for?
I got an associate degree in physics from Kingsborough Community College, and currently I want to readmission in Brooklyn College on computer science.
So you already have a degree in physics.
I already have an associate degree in physics.
Now you're going for computer science.
Computer science.
Is there anything you learned about physics that affects the way you drive your cab?
Oh, that's totally, it is all about physics. Driving a taxi is all about physics.
Tell me about that.
So I see the, observing the speed of the car, and I see the timing, and I can want to take a left turn, and how fast I have to push the gas.
Right. Your brain is deciding how fast you have to go to get in front of the car that's coming.
Coming.
To make your left turn.
Left turn.
Now, what about the physics of taking the first bite of food at the end of a day of fasting on Ramadan? What is the best angle to put the food into your mouth at? And at what velocity?
That is hard to be counted because my tongue will be with the full of speed. Get it down. Let's get it down. And they're probably biology work. In
right,
that
that's,
point.
That's biology, not physics. That'll be your next degree. We got to the airport in our cab full of watermelon, apples, and other treats. But it turned out the taxi parking lot isn't open to the public.
I'm trying to explain to you, you're not to be in here. I can go call the police right now, and if you don't leave, they will arrest you. That's how serious it is.
No, no, we know that's serious.
But and obviously you don't, because you keep trying to explain something to me that I already understand.
While Tipu and my producer Ann talked to the supervisor, I snuck away. There's a rest stop building in this parking lot, and there's actually like an outdoor prayer area that the Muslim cabbies have set up in the back. It's a little patch of sidewalk covered with rugs, wedged between an access road and a dumpster. Tell me your name.
Rahil.
Are you Muslim?
Yes, I am, sir. Alhamdulillah.
So, Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is the holy month. We fast during this month. The time now is 8:03. In about exactly half an hour, you'll see more people to be praying here in this area.
Right.
Breaking the fast.
As a taxi driver in particular, how does it affect you during Ramadan?
Many things. Particularly, this job is demanding because so many other things that come along with the job, like traffic, deal with the customers. But I mean, but just in general, this is the month in which... you see, God is testing you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. This is a test. Your life that we are here today is a test. Now, during this, we get tested more.
In about 30 minutes, it will be iftar. It will be time for you to break your fast for the day. What are you looking forward to eating?
Well, I will be having a passenger somewhere, so I have my supplies in my cab. The custom to break the fast is with a date. I have a few dates in my cab, so I will be breaking the fast somewhere on the highway. With the passenger in the back.
Okay.
You have a nice day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good
luck.
Take
care. Yourself.
Take care. Can you tell me your name, please?
Surinka.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Gambia.
And you're fasting for Ramadan?
Yes.
So it's just, what, about 25 minutes?
Yes, about 25 minutes.
Until iftar?
Yeah.
What are you going to be eating?
I'm going to eat something light, you know, coffee, like a little roll. And then after praying, and then I'll eat some, like, rice. That's my main...
Right.
Yeah.
So sorry. You're going to have to stop. You should be over there with us.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right. Thanks.
No problem.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you. Thank you.
So the jig was up. We left the food by the prayer area and got back in our cab. We decided to head to LaGuardia Airport to see if there were Muslim cabbies breaking their fast there. But the sun was about to set. It was a race against time. Tipu, you may have to break your fast here in the back of this cab.
Well, so, I have my food my wife gave me.
We didn't leave all the food there, did you, Tipu?
No, I have some from my home. I brought it.
Oh, good, good. So Tipu has taken the lid off of his of his food. He's getting ready. How many more minutes do we have, Tipu?
Seven more minutes.
Let's check the time. Seven more minutes. Not like you're keeping track, though.
Yeah.
8:24, 7 minutes. You may break your fast in this very cab. I'm sure it won't be the first time you've done that, right?
Not in the first time.
Have you ever broken your fast as a passenger in a cab?
That is the first time. That's the first time I'm as a passenger.
It smells so good. How do you do this to yourself? Why are you taking the lid off? You're releasing the smell. You're only teasing yourself.
Yeah, just it is also rewarded that you're sitting in front of the food. And still you are not eating, and you are following the water of Allah.
So you are supposed to look at the food before. You're supposed to make it as hard as possible, it sounds like.
It is also rewarded when you are sitting with the food, Lowell seeing it, how much hard struggling we are doing it.
Tipu, what time is it?
8:30.
Check your phone.
What time is it? 8:31 or 8:30? What time is the iftar? 8:31 or 8:32?
It's breakfast already.
Oh, we done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Brother? You want some?
Oh, yeah, I want this.
Shekna, our driver, who's also been fasting all day, just passed back some dates. We. It's a party in the car now.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Shekna, how does that taste?
Good.
All right.
After all day spending.
Yeah. Brother, take this. No, you stay on your left. You stay on your left. Left.
We almost got in an accident just now.
You take this, Annie.
I'll share that with Anne.
No,
you eat. I haven't been fasting. I'll share with Anne. It's okay. Eat. All right. Thank you. Oh, my God. This is the eggplant.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so good. We got like a buffet back here. We got bananas, apples, we got chana, we got some of the eggplant. Oh, man. And Tipu, I have to say, just in the few minutes since we started eating, I can see you're already energized. As he holds...
Yeah.
Tipu just took two bites of his banana, passed it up to Chekna, who finished the rest of the banana. It's a
That's
feeding
a
frenzy.
Sharing.
Yeah, it's sharing, that's right.
Sure. This is a Ramadan month. It's a sharing, is a reward. Allah will give us a reward. This is participating the food, sharing the food. We understand each other.
And it is cool. Like, Shekna, our driver here, our cab driver, he's from Mali. You're from Bangladesh. You guys have never met before. And here we are in a car together, but you have this common bond.
Yep.
Here you are eating out of each other's hands.
Yep.
At 50 miles an hour on the Van Wyck Expressway. By the time we got to LaGuardia, the fast had been broken and the cabbies had gone their separate ways. And anyway, nothing was going to top watching Tipu feed our driver, Shekna, as Shekna weaved through traffic at 50 miles an hour. So thanks for not killing us, Shekna. And Tipu, thanks for sharing your wife's amazing cooking with us. And to all the Muslims out there, Ramadan Mubarak. Quick reminder, it's Podcast Appreciation Month, so please support The Sporkful. When you donate any amount, you'll get 3 top secret episodes that aren't publicly available. Give a little bit more, and you'll get a little more, like the WNYC lunch tote, or an autographed copy of my book, or something else really cool. Please give now at sporkful.com/donate, or text SPORK to 69866. Thanks. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. We get editing help from Shoshana Gold, music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Imam Shadi Zaza and Rama Al-Husseini at the Rama Foundation in Detroit. And special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Alyssa from Jupiter, Florida.
And I'm Johanna from Gainesville, Florida, reminding you to eat more, eat better,
and eat more better.